Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
Very excited to talk to this bloke today. He is an absolute legend in Brisbane radio, been across quite a few stations, 4BK, B105, Triple M, 4KQ, amongst many others around the states. His name is Ian Skippin, and he joins me on the podcast right now. G'day, Skip. How are you, mate?
Lee, I'm very well, and you can go easy on the legend. It's a very, very tiny L.
Well, we did say we're going to talk about your radio career, and you said, it's going to be a very short segment then. Not at all.
Time goes by very quickly.
So let's talk about your wonderful career in radio. I mean, you've already been on, four, five? I've run out of fingers. How many stations have you been on in Brisbane radio now?
Well, it was quite accidental. So firstly, 4KQ.
Yeah.
Then to 4BK, which went to B105. B105 to Triple M.
That's right.
And then latterly, a short stint at 4BC before they heaved everyone out and brought in Jones and Hadley. So, yeah.
That's right. So let's go back to the very early stages. Young Ian Skippin starting out. Was it 4VL you got your big break?
4VL, yes. 4VL, Charlie with the voice of the far southwest.
That's right. And at one stage, I remember Jamie Dunn actually sent you out there to do an OB because you lost a bet or something like that.
Yeah, he did. And I went out with Ben Dark, who was the bush pig.
That's right.
B105. And it was quite funny. I hadn't been back to Charleville since I left in 1970. I only had a short stint there. It was my first radio job, and I was only there about 8 months before I went to 4BU. And Darkie said to me, he said, Skip, there's people talking to you and saying, g'day, Skip, as you're walking down the street, like as though you were just there yesterday. I said, well, it's just, I was all over Charleville. I was my first time away from home, and I was in Apex, and I had a terrific time. Let off the leash,
Yeah.
a young bloke of just turned 20 when I got there. I had a great time.
Did you ride horses and get into the stockman type lifestyle that they had out there?
No, but there was a all the locals, most of the time, all the bank johnnies and the DCA, the Department of Civil Aviation, was in workers and the police. They were all in and out of town, so people were passing through. So there was a race meeting up the road outside Augathella where you bought a horse for the day and you raced it with your jockey.
Oh, right, okay.
So we all went up there, and this was the days when cartons of booze went in the boot of the car, and the bank johnnies and Skippo and a few others on board, up we chuffed to a Bonfield.
Yeah.
The Bonfield races. And we bought this horse called Chico, or Chica. And they said, well, who in there? Who's going to ride it? I said, well, I will. So I'm up on the saddle, this thing, and it took one of the local blokes to look at me in the saddle of this horse and said, you won't be going anywhere on this. You get down. I'll be riding it. So I was very glad to get off this thing. But my name was still as the jockey. So this thing, Chica, in one of the races, headed off into the scrub and ditched our rider into a heap of galvanized burrs. He spat his teeth out. He had false teeth in a couple of false teeth in the front. And I left Charleville shortly after. And he still hadn't found the teeth. So, but they were calling, Skipper's gone into the, Chico there, Skipper on the jockey.
And everyone's thinking it's you, but you're like safe and away from that horse.
Thank God. Because it was a real race.
Yeah.
With these locals who knew what they were doing. Except our bloke. He was full of, soup anyway, and off he went to the galvanized birds. He had bark off him and lost his teeth.
So you got out of 4VL after 8 months, and you ended up in Bundy at 4BU.
Yeah,
what did you do there?
Everything, like you do?
Yeah.
I did everything at Charleville and Bundy. Writing copy and all that sort of stuff. But Bundy had a really, really interesting old school GM, Noel McCormack.
Yeah.
And my first day there, I arrived at the front desk and this old bloke comes out and he's looking at me and he said, so where are they? And looking at me and I'm thinking, I'm sorry, Mr. McCormack, I don't know. No, where are they? Don't you wear them all the time? I don't know what you're referring to. The headphones, son, the headphones, in the front of your set. The headphones, don't you wear them all the time? Son, a good announcer doesn't need headphones.
What?
Right, okay. Well, he was an ex-ABC guy.
Yeah.
And in those days, it wouldn't matter. They would turn off the microphone and lean across and turn on the turntable and up would come the record.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter. They're pausing. Like, they wouldn't talk over music. They wouldn't do anything like that. And when I ended up leaving 4BU and going to 4KQ, Russ Tyson was there then, who was a legend ABC broadcaster. The late Russ Tyson did Hospital Hour, and but he ended up going to 4KQ. And I used to him, and he had one ear on, one ear off, but he was saying, now we're going to hear Mantovani and the 101 Strings, or something like that. So he'd turn off the microphone and then switch on the record.
Yeah.
So there was there was nothing clean or, you know, talking up to a vocal or anything like that. Nah.
I remember seeing photographs of you at 4KQ with that legendary mustache.
Yes.
Has it ever come back, Skip?
It did for November at one stage, but it had a lot of grey in it then, so and it wasn't as good as it used to be. So I grew that because I had such a baby face, and I was getting refused because it was 21 drinking age.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time I turned 21, and then I grew a moustache because I could get people wouldn't ask me my age all the time in pubs.
Yeah,
I stayed with me for a long time until I went to. In my early days at BY5, and Greg Smith said, well, the moustache has got to go. And I probably should have said, well, get stuffed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's mine. It's part of me. And I've been there a long time. But I love ice cream. I used to get ice cream caught up. You know, you have ice cream in your moustache, so you'd have the smell of bloody ice cream in your moustache.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
I wasn't too unhappy to see it go, but it was with me for a long, long time, yeah.
Well, you went to 4KQ. What was the format? Was it country back then?
No.
No?
Better music.
Oh, better music.
Music. It was James Last.
Yeah.
Nat King Cole, right. Al Martino, Dean Martin, Perry Como, right. All of those.
Yeah, right.
Because they boasted at one stage when Billy Reiner was there that they never played Beatles music.
Okay.
So better music, 4KQ.
Yep.
Yeah. No, the country came later.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. Now, obviously, they're classic hits and they've been with that format for a while. And so you crossed over to 4BK. How long were you at 4KQ for?
Same time, 16 years.
Oh, 16 years, okay.
Yeah, wow. And I played every form. In my time in radio, the only thing that I haven't played is classical music.
Yeah, right. But
because at 4KQ, I played just about everything while I was there. We went through quite a few different formats.
Yep.
Greatest Memories, Latest Hits.
Yes, that's the one.
Better Music, Country, the best country in the world.
Were you there when they adopted 4KQ's My Station, or was that later on?
No, that might have been later on, I think.
Okay.
I left in 88 because when I was at 4KQ, I was the PD for a while, and I'd met Greg Smith, and I was very impressed with Greg Smith. And a mate of mine I used to play cricket with in Brisbane, Kevin Hillier. Kevin ended up at Fox doing the Fox Morning Zoo, it was then, because all the multi-membered crews at zoos had come out of New York with Z100 and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
So when they arrived the zoo and crew format started in Australia, Kevin was one of the first ones doing it at Fox. And he was a good mate of mine, and I used to think, well, God, I'd love to do that style of radio, that ensemble style of radio. And So I got my chance, and when Greg Smith, when I bought 4BK, that then became B105, he rang me driving through the Gabba the day they bought it, and he said, "I want you to join us." And I said, "Oh, when?" He said, "Well, whenever." And I said, "I'll only come if I can do breakfast." So, because I was doing breakfast then at 4KQ,
yep.
And I'd spent most of my radio doing breakfast. So that was where it was. But it was purely through meeting Smith when he was doing some sort of consultancy thing through 4KQ that I liked him, and I thought I'd love to work with him.
So when you went across to do breakfast on 4BK, was that just solo, or did you start getting an ensemble together then?
It was Donna and I.
Yep.
And Bernie Britton.
Oh, right, from WA.
Yeah, and then I think Bernie was in Melbourne radio as well.
Oh, Melbourne,
one
okay.
State.
Yep.
And then I think Chucky Fowler, Keith Fowler, I played cricket with him too on the same cricket team with Kevin Hillier, because Chucky was at, Keith was at 4AP as well when yep. Kevin was there.
Yep.
So, but Keith is a rubbish cricketer. Kevin was a very, very good left-arm fast bowler.
Very right, okay.
And I was a reasonable opening batsman in my head and medium first-change bowler. But so it was through that that I wanted to do breakfast. And so Bernie and Donna, and then Keith was doing some work, and he recommended to, I don't know who it was, might have been Ed Breslin, who was running BK at the time, or Greg Smith, that Jamie Dunn might be somebody who's in the market, because he'd seen him doing something in Darwin, an agro adult show.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so Jamie ended up coming on board after he might have even been on a holiday in Hong Kong he was going to Hong Kong on holiday, so we had to wait for him to come back, but we were still paddling around it. And Bernie, I think, was hoping that he could be part of that. Jamie quickly saw that out the window.
Oh, yeah. So did Jamie join when it was 4BK or when it got launched at B105?
No, he was there at 4BK.
Okay. And was it called The Morning Crew when it launched on 4BK?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Yeah. So it's pretty much just the conversion from AM to FM by the sounds of things.
Well, we were up and running and yeah, as it was then, Triple M or FM 104 was really on the nose, and people couldn't wait. And advertisers really were over them, because they rode roughshod over the advertising industry in Brisbane. They just called, because they're the only one, they called all the shots.
Yeah.
And they refused to advertise. They just wouldn't take some business if they didn't think it fitted the station.
Oh, so they were actually choosing their clients.
They were.
Wow.
So when we came on board, it was just bang. We just thrashed. Yeah, the first survey just went through the roof.
Yeah. So Brisbane was ready by the sounds of it. They were just...
They were, well and truly. And it was very... Look, it was really exciting. I loved the format that we were doing, the style of radio. It was just so... It was so loose. It was so ensemble. And we had people who valued us and invested in us and trusted us to do whatever. And Brad March, who was just a great content director, program director, he didn't care what we did as long as we could explain why we did it later.
Okay.
So we just did things.
Yeah.
Just, it was walking a tightrope every morning and just going for it. It was just so good. And we didn't have to, there wasn't the assessment every, like we'd have an air check, catch up nearly every day, but it wasn't intense to the point of, you know, wearing you down and wearing you out.
Yeah.
And maybe I was more open to it then than I was later on in my career. You don't know it all, but there's sometimes when I think, you know, it's tiredness, because breakfast, it's a treadmill that when you get off, And I guess after doing it for the majority of my 40-something years in radio, I was doing breakfast.
Yeah.
But when you finish, and I think at the end, when I left Triple M, they, I think I was quite, and I was happy to go. That was my first time I'd ever been told to go in 40 years of radio.
Yeah.
So I'd been very, very fortunate.
Oh, definitely.
But I was tired. I think I was just tired of a process and just able to accept that, you know, I've had a really, really good run, fantastic time. And I don't know if it's, I'm sure you can still have a good time doing radio now, but it's just different. It's a tough time for radio with so many other choices for our ears. It doesn't have to be what you turn on every morning and listen to, what, as I grew up listening to with an ear glued to a big radio in the corner of our lounge room.
Do you remember the day B105 launched? What sort of party or launch did you have? Was it Wayne Goss at the time?
We had a big party upstairs. Late Gossy, he was the premier, so he launched.
Yep.
And it was the day after my birthday.
Oh,
it was so my 40th birthday.
Yep.
In 1990.
Yep.
So we had a big celebration and power's brewing. See, and the Broncos, everyone was new. So we were on to, we were new. Power's booze was new and Bernie Power was there. Wally was there. Like, it was just, huge celebration. And because, you know, we were all sort of the babes in the wood, as it were.
Yep.
And we were all ready to kick goals and kick bum.
So the original lineup, can you remember who was on air when the station launched?
Well, there was us, Donna, Jamie and me. I think Bernie was doing mornings, afternoons. It might have been Paul Davies, but that might have been, he might have come along later.
Rob McCasker, was he there?
McCasker did drive. McCasker was the first voice. And nighttime, David Reimer.
That's right.
And Jess.
And Jess, yeah.
So Reimer was there. And then latterly, of course, our paths all crossed again when I went from B105 to Triple M. Just walked down the corridor. But I was going altogether. I'd had 16 years and I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we did just some great radio. And I can say that because it really was. It was exciting and we were... We had the license to do whatever we wanted to do. It did change later on. It was just you couldn't do all the things that we would just do. One of the great things I recall, a lady rang one day looking for her hairdresser. I don't know how it came about. We were talking about hairdressers and this woman said, oh, my best one, I think he's in London now. I've lost contact. So we decided, all right, we'll see if we can find this guy. And then we decided, well, rather than just find the bloke, why don't we get this lady across to London for a haircut? This is all while we're on the air.
Yeah.
So I knew the bloke who was the state manager for Cathay Pacific. So we got Craig Templeman on the line and organised that, unbeknownst to her. And then we got her back and we got the hairdresser on. So we got the hairdresser and her having a chat. We've linked them up, and then we say to this lady, now, what we're going to do, we think it's a great idea if you go and see your mate in London for a haircut. And then Craig came on. He said, I'm from Cathay Pacific. I've got this, this, and this. And we did that during the show.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Just pulled it together. No promotions people organized it. We did it
purely
through people we knew.
Yeah.
And we were able to do it. And we just pulled it off, and it was just, you couldn't do it now. It would, later on when we had promotions people who just didn't like the way we operated, like they wanted to just, everything had to be I's dotted and T's crossed, and you had to be accountable. Everything was being accounted for.
Yeah.
And they saw it as, loose cannons. It was like Hector Pascal's The Weatherman. I'd read that there was American... Crew or Zoo had a gay weatherman.
Yep.
Once again, you probably couldn't do it today. And I just loved it. We would, half the time, we wouldn't know what we're going to do. It was, the harp would go and in would come Hector. It's like when the door knock happened, and people still, I'll go to the local butchers and somebody will sing out from one of the younger butchers who used to listen while he was going to school with his parents.
Yeah.
And he'd be down the back of the butcher shop going, Mr. Skipper, Mr. Skipper. So it's funny the way things happen. But the door knock, I mean, Jamie's sitting there, but the door knock was the thing for him to come in. It was just all those little... It was just theatre.
For sure. And there's so many characters too on the show. Can you remember them all? I mean, Lord Mayor Jim was another
Lord
big
Mayor
one
Jim,
as well.
That was fantastic. Well, Jim Sawley wanted that to go. He didn't, but his PR guy, Graham, I've forgotten his name now, but Graham lives down the coast now, but he was his PR guy. And he said, you are crazy. You don't want to. So in the end, Jim would try and outdo Ian Calder doing Jim.
Oh,
if
yes.
Ever though, if he would come in the studio and be looking for Ian, and Ian was so shy,
yep.
Ian would be ducking for cover. He was a great radio actor, and he just did that character so well. And we would just see what was in the news and just take it, and the phone would ring. Of course, once again, it's all theatre.
Yeah.
Hello? And it was just... All those things, that did, and they became signatures.
Yeah,
and we had him on all those appointment setting things that happened, you know, every morning after 7, Lord Mayor Jim would be on the phone. And they were things we had to have appointments. And they were those things that people, it was like they wouldn't know what time it was because people are busy doing stuff in their morning. But if they heard Lord Mayor Jim on, they'd know it was 7:10.
Ah, yes, okay.
Or just after 7 o'clock news.
And wasn't Gibbo part of the morning crew in the early stages as well?
Jamie went to Sydney and Gibbo stepped in, and I mean, there's only one Jamie and there's only one Gibbo. Gibbo is supremely talented.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we couldn't do it. And then we got the idea to, let's do Jamie online.
Yeah.
And we recorded stuff every day. We'd come off air and then record for the next day. So we had Jamie on air as if he was in Brisbane.
Oh, right, okay.
It was pretty hard, but we did it, and we're still number one doing that.
Yeah, I only briefly remembered that he went down there.
And then they took on Mulray, and he and Wendy Harmer annihilated Mulray.
So he was one of the first comics for the morning crew, was he, down in Sydney?
Yeah, of course, then they did Mooney.
That's right, yeah.
Peter Moon followed Jamie, I think.
Yeah.
So I had 16 years doing that. We had great times. Yeah, you know, I could count on one hand the number of disagreements we had. It was just terrific.
Yeah, I forgot to ask about that. I heard about a few fisticuffs at some stage.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah.
But it was over nothing, and it was probably a function of flare-up and tiredness and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. But we went on that day... It was before we went on air. And Michael Price was our producer, and God, he couldn't believe it. Well, actually, I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah.
It was just like a hook from nowhere out of, to the side of the head.
Oh,
wow. I didn't even know. Yeah. Bang.
So did Pricey have to pull you apart?
Yeah, because Jamie was trying to get at me. I'd obviously pushed a button that was wrong for him.
Oh, okay.
And he was, but I never ever, and I don't to this day know why, I never threw one because I was a lot fitter. And I don't know.
You're probably surprised more than anything.
I was totally surprised, but and so was Pricey. But, it was one of those things that everyone wants to talk about it, and I don't care. So, I mean, it was a long, long gone. It was a thing that happened, and we had to go in front management that day.
Yeah.
It was a female manager, and Alyssa was just, she said, I just feel so much of an outsider sitting here in front of you two talking about this. She said, it just doesn't seem that I should be the one doing this.
Yeah.
But we had a great show that day.
Yeah.
And went on as if nothing had happened.
Okay, well.
But it was all over town, the papers and TV and everything were onto it.
So what are you up to these days, Skip? I saw on Facebook the other day you're doing some renos.
Well, that's all. I still do. People just want me to do MC stuff. And, with COVID, I mean, there's not been a lot of that. But I do all the Moreton Bay region citizenship ceremonies until COVID hit.
Yeah.
But they are I love it. Of all the things I've done in comparing things, I just absolutely love those because there's people who want to be Australians and there's some who've waited a long, long time to become an Australian.
Yeah.
From all over the world. So we've had a couple hundred people from 35 different countries. We had one from Namibia, a couple from Bhutan, and just all these people who just want to be part of. And I took on these ceremonies. And they rang me and said, "Can you do a citizenship ceremony?" I said, "Well, yeah, I can." And then I did one. They said, "Oh, can you see what you're doing up until June?" So I said, "Yeah, I can." So I did that. And then they said, "How are you placed till the end of the year?" So that's the last few years. So I just kept doing it. I had no idea how they did them before,
yeah.
But I just did them in my own way. And they're just a great celebration.
Yeah.
So much fun. There's so much joy. But they've cooled because of COVID. So they're doing them in-house until all this settles down with a different format, different time. So I won't be involved for the minute.
No, but I'm also hearing you on TV ads at the moment, Image Blinds.
Oh, yeah, the famous Image
Blinds. I was like, who's that? I know that voice. That's Ian Skinner. And then I saw on Facebook that you, you're recording your session there with Image Blinds.
And one of the guys I record with is now the breakfast audio producer for 97.3, but he was one of our early audio producers of B105, Brett Johnson, super talent.
Yeah, okay.
Super talent. He could play anything.
Yep.
He's so musical, great producer. And he was even doing some desk work when he was running the panel when I was doing stuff with Loretta at 4BC.
Oh, nice.
He was in between engagements. I said, "Well, if you can do this, come and join us." But he's since, very, very creative. And we would have done some stuff at 4BC, but it all fell over.
What's the future hold for you, Skip? Are you done with radio or you're still open to offers?
Do you know something? Do I miss it? Of course.
Yeah.
I love performing. That's the part I miss.
Yeah.
All the other stuff behind it, I don't miss at all. The daily grind of an air check every day, which we're doing at Triple M.
Yeah.
With Emily Jade and Marto and Sully.
Yep.
But I just in the end I think it just worn down, not worn out, but worn down by a process and probably over 40 years not really reacting to being told all the time that what you did wasn't good.
Yeah.
Or it could have been done in a better way or whatever, But
yeah.
I always said, I have to make instant decisions because I'm running it.
Yeah.
And it mightn't always be the right decision, but I have to make a call.
That's right.
And you don't have, then hindsight's always 20/20. You don't have the luxury of time in breakfast radio when you are going to make mistakes. It's not always going to be right. Yeah. So in the end, look, I was absolutely fine. I had a wonderful run. Radio, would I love to do it again? Of course I would.
Yeah.
Would I get up early to do it again? No. I'd rather be walking in the bush around here early morning, listening to the birds.
Oh, absolutely. I can hear them through the podcast.
The birds, and I'm surrounded by state forests. So yeah,
beautiful spot there.
I'm very, very lucky, but I still wake early. And if I'm not doing stuff as I have been through this COVID time when I thought, right, I'm going to become a home handyman par excellence and show if I have any carpentry skills, but I've learned some more, and I've probably learned a few more expletives, and the neighbours might have learned some too. If sound travels in the bush. I get back into maybe, doing a little chat live on Facebook when I'm out in the bush at my favourite little spot.
Oh, I'll have to look out for that.
Every morning I have a nudie swim in the pool all through summer and winter. It's a cold shower beside the pool in the Nud.
Yep.
And I jump in the pool because I'm a big advocate for there's a bloke called Wim Hof who's the Iceman, and he believes that he's on Instagram, but I come across him and people have been doing the Bondi icebergs have been doing it for years and years and years, people have cold swims. And Seneca, the great philosopher, was a cold plunge person. He also took his own life, which I...
No, you don't want to follow that, do you?
No, But Wim Hof, he says that cold water, the cold plunge, and I've had cold showers every day for years and years and years when I've, after I've had my shower early in the morning, before I go off to do breakfast, I finish off with cold water, always.
Yeah.
So now I just... but Wim Hof says it's a good kickstarter of your metabolism. It's a good kickstarter of your body's computer. It's good for your immune system. And also, now I've yet to test this, but apparently, between you and me, Lee... It's good for your libido.
Hey.
Ow! Something just popped up. I've got somewhere to hang the hat now.
Absolutely. Skip, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. It's so good to finally hear your story.
Well, thank you for giving me the privilege of being part of your thing and for boring the shit out of people again.
All right, on that note, I'll press this.
Thank you, mate.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.